Hello? Oh yeah, so I would just like to question Bhagavan Das when he says the common denominator is being. But there are levels of being, and there are some people that you can never strip the roles of hostility. For instance, on the 1st of May of this year, a cousin of mine, a girl, will be spending the 5th year of a 35-year sentence in Texas, in Beaumont, for possession of marijuana. Now, how is she supposed to relate to all the people around me are common beings? I mean, we have being as a common denominator, yes, but all the people around me hate me. You know, I mean, right here and now, when you're faced with hostility, how can you possibly, you know, say we are all part of a vast, vague being?
I've been reflecting on this a lot in many ways in relation to prisons, for example, in that I carry on a long correspondence with many, many people who are in prison all over the world now, and I would be happy to carry on a correspondence with your sister as well, by the way. I've reflected on the fact that being in prison, especially in a way of being in prison because of cultural mores, like your cousin obviously is, puts a tremendous tax on your ability to get beyond your own melodrama and your own suffering and use it constructively without getting lost in it and lost in your anger and your hurt and your paranoia and your self-pity and all these things.
Yeah, but
Wait a
waking
minute,
up.
wait a minute, wait a minute. Now calm down. Let me talk. Relax, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, right. You do the best you can to relieve the suffering. That is, you do the best you can to get your cousin out of prison.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Okay, now wait a minute. Don't be so reactive. Just hear it all. And for your cousin's work, her work is to use whatever the given conditions are of her life for her to awaken and come to God. Like a lot of my friends who have done long prison terms and who have gotten out, I found them incredibly more conscious than they ever were when they went to prison. Now, I would certainly never send anybody to prison to make them more conscious. But the fact is, they were givens. Like I was recently with Huey Newton, who was put in prison and kept there for some years for
Right.
supposedly murdering somebody. And he was kept in solitary confinement for a long time. And I meet him now, and I look into his eyes, and there is absolutely a clear, lucid contact with no anger, no nothing. We're just right here. We're not black man and white man. We're nothing. We're just straight. And I say to him, Huey, how'd you get so straight? And he says, well, solitary was the big thing. He said, I was in solitary, and I had to get straight through it. And I see that the worst thing they could do to him became the greatest blessing for him. Now, I would never lay suffering on somebody for that reason. But when somebody is given, the cup of poison or the bitter thing to drink, okay, you work with that. That's the way it's given. And if you get caught in the paranoia that created the problem for you, you're just staying deep in the illusion.
Yeah,
If
but not just the paranoia, but the life is poverty, the life is shit, the life is jail, the life is hostility. I mean, it's very hard. I wonder about the common denominator, you know. I think some people might not have any part of being at all, you know. Because it's impossible when you run into hatred, when you run into people, then you look at them and you realize that there is no way that you can reason with this person as a human being, like a person like that you know is going to inflict violence on you for no reason. And you come to the conclusion that, you know, this is another human being and maybe he's part of me, but you know, he's going to kick the shit out of me, and there's nothing I can say to him. You know, and what do you do then? I mean, sure, you can say, well, I'll try to do my best to alleviate suffering for him and for me, but, you know, right then and now, it hurts. Then and there, it hurts. You know, I mean,
How much it
people
hurt?
waking up in a ghetto every day for year after year after year after year, you know, being denied, you know, basic dignity. Maybe it's false dignity, but to them, it isn't.
Okay. I appreciate the frustration you're experiencing and the hurt you're experiencing about the predicament of man and the paranoia and the suffering man inflicts on man. Your anger and your frustration is reactive. You're reacting to the conditions in such a way that your reaction in a funny way perpetuates it. And your work on yourself is to get yourself into a position where you can see it all dispassionately enough to understand what is the optimum act you can do to relieve human suffering. And if you can take a more dispassionate view of what human suffering is about, you find out that human suffering is part and parcel of philosophical materialism, which is just what you were saying is what most people are caught in. I don't have that attachment because this isn't that, I'm not that caught or identified with my body or my personality or my own particular melodrama. Now, most people are, and for most people, you do the best you can to relieve human suffering. That is, you do the best you can to get your cousin out of jail, to relieve the ghetto situation, to get more conscious politicians. You do all that. But when you examine it from a more conscious point of view yourself, you recognize that the optimum thing you can do is to extricate yourself from the kind of attachments that make you merely a reactive organism in the system. Because then, everybody that goes boo to you, you jump. And the game is finally when somebody goes boo to you, you say, I see you going boo, and here we are, right?
Right. It's just very, very hard.
Oh, very
in
hard.
In North America, in urban North America.
That's what's, it's called the fire that really burns. It's the fire of the marketplace. See, it's really easy to go off to a cave and get high and, you know, stay so high and beautiful by denying all that.
Right.
But when you stay right in it, right in the marketplace, and work with it, and look people in the eye and deal with poverty and deal with greed and lust and anger and impurities and politicians and paranoia and all that stuff and say, yes, 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 I see it all right, I understand it all, I've got to hear my part in it and do it purely and with love. That's the work. That's the fiercest work. It's the fiercest fire we can stand in. Right? Okay, I love you. You're a beautiful guy. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Send my love to your cousin, will you?
I will.
And if she wants to, she can send me a note through this radio station. It'll get to me.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
Okay.